We're doing Binyan HaBayit, and tonight I want to do a few small topics. Next week we'll get back to our schedule. In our class on Tomer Dvorah this past Friday, we discussed that there's a concept of Rachamim within Din. That sometimes we think that there's din, there's justice, there's what's fair, and there's no room for compromise within that. And we discussed on Friday that even within what we would call fair or justice, there's also the concept of rachamim, of mercy, of compassion, of going beyond the letter of the law, and there's an aspect where that is a part of din, that is a part of justice. There's an aspect where that is owed. The Mishnah discusses in Baba Basra, in the third chapter, the fifth Mishnah, the Mishnah says, "En la isha chazaka b'nichsei ba'ala." A woman within her husband's belongings, we cannot say that she can claim, "I have a chazaka. I've been using this field for 3 years, it's mine." The fact, ordinarily, if someone's using your field for 3 years, we say, you wouldn't let someone else sit in your field for 3 years unless it's theirs, unless you really sold it to them. But a person's own wife, says the Rambam, "Lefi shegam ha'ish mevater le'ishto b'ma she'en nazchut bo." The way of a man is that he forgoes. He's willing to let his wife have things or do things that really she has no right to. So this concept would seem obvious, but I want to begin with the concept in halacha, where it's quoted in the Gemara, not in agadic form, but in halachic form. The concept is that in a normal marriage, a husband will forgo things, and his wife will do things beyond what she's entitled to by the letter of the law. Anytime you have a partnership, so there's going to be the question, what are the strengths and weaknesses of the two sides of the partnership? If you think about democracy, then there's a real problem with democracy. Let's take the case of the United States today. They're going towards an election year, right? Who's going to vote? Who's the president? So technically it's the Electoral College, but for all intents and purposes it's the people. Now, what are the issues they're going to have in mind? They're going to say, should we be in war at Iraq or not? Should we have our soldiers there? What does the average person think? Well, we lost such and such soldiers. We got such and such. The threat is such and such. Either it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. But if we were to talk to a politician that's up on top and they'd reveal to us what they were really thinking, I'm sure there's a lot more to it than what the average person is thinking. For example, why was the United States so intent that Israel would sign the peace treaty with Egypt or with Jordan? Because a major part of the U.S. economy is the manufacture and sale of arms. Part of the deal they have is that if they sell arms to Israel, they cannot sell arms to an enemy of Israel. Once we signed the peace treaty with Egypt, they've been selling a lot of ammunition to Egypt. They're very happy if we go to war with Egypt. We use our ammunition. They use their ammunition. We need to buy more ammunition. They make more money. That spurs the economy. They sell the ammunition to Jordan now. We have a peace treaty with Jordan. They're allowed to sell ammunition to Jordan. So what's happening? Jordan is progressively gaining more ammunition, becoming a greater threat. We need the United States more, and they make more money. They have more control over the Middle East. A lot of what's played out on the surface is a game. And if we really were to weigh what's happening in Iraq, there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. The United States has to ensure certain balance of powers in the Middle East. They want Iraq to look a certain way. There are a lot of things that they want that have nothing to do with what the average person who's electing the official knows. So anytime we're dealing with democracy, we're dealing with a situation where you have millions of people who have no understanding of the issues they're voting about, and they're going to run the country. So you ask yourself, wait a second, you guys don't understand the economy. You guys really don't understand everything that's involved. You guys don't understand the military. You don't understand everything that's involved. All you understand is that you might have a son out in Iraq and you want the war to end. So if a Democrat's going to promise you he'll end the war, you'll go with him. But that's not what's at hand. There's a lot more at hand. How could you make the decisions for the country? So the brilliance of democracy is that we say, no, every person can attain a certain amount of understanding, and everyone who's up for election should explain it to the constituents as best as he can, and they'll understand as best as they can, and may the best man win. But democracy is really entrusting in every individual a tremendous amount of understanding, because they have to have understanding if they're going to have this responsibility. Obviously, it's limited. A person who doesn't have a higher education is not going to be able to understand many of the concepts. But it's very humble. It means we're all equal. Just like I have one vote, the next guy has one vote. And just like I'm not saying I'm so much smarter, I should decide, so too the next guy can't say he's so much smarter, he should decide. We all have equal rights. In marriage, it's very tempting to look at the spouse and say, he doesn't understand. She doesn't understand. It's not uncommon, unfortunately, that a husband will make a major decision about a mortgage, about an investment, about a business, about quitting his job, about taking on a job. He'll make major decisions without consulting his wife. And you ask him why, and he'll say, she doesn't understand. It's not uncommon, unfortunately, that a wife will make decisions that can affect the family budget without talking to her husband. She'll charge the credit card. She'll buy herself a new garment. She'll do something which maybe they could afford this month, maybe they can't afford this month. Really, she should probably consult with her husband about it, but unfortunately, it's quite common that she won't, and she'll say, yeah, he won't understand, or he won't agree. Part of our fear is that we may be wrong, and the other side will say, I told you so. The head of Snapple, there was a time that Snapple was making a lot of money in the United States, and then they hired a new CEO, and after a year or two, they shut down. And they fired the CEO, and when he made his departing speech, one of the things he said was, my wife told me not to take this job. She told him not to take the job. He said it in the speech. Part of the reason why husbands tend to forego what their wives would say is because we speak on different wavelengths. A husband is going to present his case logically. Say, look, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 4. This is what makes sense to me. What makes sense? Explain to me your position. And the wife doesn't talk his language. She's going to say, it doesn't seem right to me. And he'll say, yes. And she'll say, I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem right to me. And he's, okay, but if you can explain it to me, then I can take it into account. If you're not explaining to me, how can I evaluate it? We have to recognize that we talk different languages, and we synthesize things differently. And even though we say that when it comes to de'ah, knowledge, logic, the man is stronger, that doesn't mean he's more right. It means he's going to use his de'ah better. Women, da'atan kalalim. When it comes to logic, we say they're weaker. More commonly, they're going to be what's called da'atan kalal. They're lighter when it comes to this. Whether it means logically this way or that way. But we have to remember, they have their tools where they're stronger. They have binayat terah. They have greater understanding that we don't have. Now that means they won't be able to present us with their case in a logical manner like we can present our case. But that doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means they use a different system of analyzing things. I have a friend who's contemplating buying a car. So he asked his wife, what do you think? Should we get a car? She said, no. He said, why? She said, I'm not sure. I could tell you a few reasons, but I'm not sure why. I don't think it's a good idea. I'll give you a better example. There was a guy who wanted to move. He wanted to switch apartments. He had three good reasons why they had to switch apartments. Came to his wife and presented her with the reasons. She said, I hear you. He went to look at an apartment. He said, this one fits all the criteria. He brought her to look at the apartment. She said, I don't think so. He said, explain to me why. She said a few reasons. So he went, looked, found another apartment. She came to see it. She gave him another few reasons. Finally, they found the apartment and met all the criteria she said. Had a nice size kitchen, had a nice place for the kids to play, it was the right floor, they had the right neighbors, all the criteria she had told them on the previous apartments. She comes to look at the apartment and she says, no. And he says, why? And she says, I don't know. I don't like it. It's not for us. Now this guy was a wise aleck, so he pushed his hand. He badgered her. He said, let's go through all the reasons we said. And he pushed and pushed until finally she said, okay. And when she said, okay, he said, I'll see you later. She said, where are you going? He said, to sign the contract. She said, what do you mean? He said, well, you just said okay. So she said, okay. And he went to sign the contract. He comes back home and she's not very happy. He said, what do you want? I asked you. He said, okay. So she said, yeah, you twisted my hand. He said, what do you mean I twisted your hand? I presented you with all the reasons you agreed with me, and then so I went and signed the contract. They spent the next year miserable. Miserable, they moved. They spent the next year miserable, and then he said, you were right. You were right, didn't work. This wasn't a good apartment. After a year, they moved out. Sometimes we have to open ourselves to listening to the other side. And sometimes we have to learn that just because the other side doesn't present it in our terms doesn't mean they're wrong. Now that doesn't mean that every time the other side says something different and they can't justify it, we say, okay, you said so, so that's the way it goes. But we have to be sensitive to the fact that it might be presented differently, and that doesn't mean it's wrong. I want to deal with a different point quickly. When couples first marry, so there are going to be issues they have to work out. And sometimes a couple is quick to think, let's get external help. It's not necessarily a good idea. It's very recommended that a couple take the time to try and work things out. And one thing that couples sometimes forget is that just because we didn't work it out doesn't mean we didn't work it out. We're happily married. We didn't work out this issue. Well, if it's not pressing for today, let's see what happens tomorrow. When you learn Gemara, so you sometimes see that when you sit on a topic, you can't always get the answer. Sometimes you have to keep learning. And after time, when you get back to it, you have a new view, you can work it out. If an issue isn't pressing for this minute, it's recommended that if a couple can wait, wait. Maybe in 2 weeks you'll be able to work it out. Maybe in 2 months you'll be able to work it out. If something isn't pressing, if it isn't a fire burning at their door, so then it's recommended to wait. See for yourself first. Give things time. There's a saying that says, why deal with something today if it can be left for tomorrow? And when I was in the United States, I saw a magnet that said, why deal with something tomorrow if it can be forgotten altogether? So,
no, that's abnormal.
I think that's true. Sometimes there are issues which, who said they have to be dealt with? Right now it looks like it's pressing. Wait and see. Maybe it'll absolve itself. Not resolve, absolve. Maybe it'll just dissipate. Not every issue that seems like it's an issue today is really an issue tomorrow. And people have to take care to wait and see, especially in the beginning. And the beginning, I would say, is at least the first 2 years. Again, if there's something that's burning, it's a problem, so then they have to see what to do. But many things disappear. I want to end, going back to the first point, with a joke. And don't quote it to your wives. And females in the audience, please don't be upset by this joke, because the joke can be said by the same token about men. I would say it in Yiddish, but I don't know if everyone here understands Yiddish. Two men meet in the street. They've both been married a few years, and one asks the other, they're good friends, he asks them, how's married life treating you? So he says, my wife, she's a malach, she's an angel. So the other guy says, yeah, I know the feeling, my wife is also not human. We have to recognize, sometimes out of exasperation, a person feels like he doesn't have who to talk to. It doesn't work that way. We're human. That's why I said it could go both ways. You could say two wives make one another, and they say the same line could go both ways. It doesn't matter. We have to know that we're different, and these differences will cause certain hardships in the beginning, and with time we just learn to live with them. It's not that they dissipate, but we learn to live with them, and we have to be careful not to do what these people did or what the second guy did. It's very tempting to sometimes think, she doesn't understand, she doesn't know, this isn't her issue, this isn't her area. We have to be very careful before we do that. And there is a tendency, especially in the beginning, and if a person doesn't catch himself, it can happen more often, to do that. And I want to end with two very sad stories. There was one person who I met recently, and he said to me, you know, I just lost $1 million. So I knew where he had invested his money, and I knew his wife was against it. He invested in real estate in the United States. You guys know the real estate market crashed like crazy. So at the time he was telling me how it's a good idea and we should invest, and his wife was in the room and she said, don't invest that money, we have good money, don't invest it all in real estate. And he didn't listen to her, and this isn't the first time he did it, and we're really, really good friends. So I told him, you remember your wife said not to do it? He said, yeah, I remember. So I asked him, and what about the investments you want to make tomorrow? Every bad investment you've made so far, this guy's lost a lot of money on investments. He doesn't ask his wife. Every bad investment, it was off of him that I decided we should have this class. After talking to him, last week I was with him in America, so I thought, hey, this isn't the first person I know. I said to him, wait a second, so let's learn from our mistakes. If she said no, and it's interesting because he wanted to mortgage their house for more investments, and she said, you're not mortgaging the house. It was the one thing she put her foot down on. And he regrets she didn't put her foot down on more things. They'd have more money in the bank. And there's another story of a guy who's unemployed. I mean, he's unemployed for many, many years. And my feeling is that in that house, the reason the house looks like it does, and they're really in bad states, is because the wife wasn't strong enough. The husband got to lead his way in everything, and he messed up their lives. We have to recognize that God blessed us with a gift in our wives, that they have the understanding that goes beyond our logic. Our logic, as great as it is limited to our logic. And our logic can only synthesize what it sees. Sometimes the women, with their extra understanding, can say, wait a second, this isn't a good idea. I don't know why. But they sense something that we can't. The reason we don't see it is because we're limited to our logic. So we should be open to gleaning the wealth that we were given with the wives that we were blessed with. I want to start something new today. We